Hey, what's poppin', part two, people? We're rocking a Tuesday night. Wait, is it Tuesday? Yeah, it's Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Whoa. Yep. At the end of part one, we were talking about our event for Sanchez, the 34-year Detroit cop who developed some terrible lung problems. Not a smoker, by the way. I think it may have had to do with, well, there's a number of theories, but anyway, he needed a double lung transplant. Got it. And he's doing fine. He looks like he's going to be just fine and dandy. He's getting himself in shape.
It's incredible.
Yeah, really. That's quite an ordeal. And you know what's weird is...
That's amazing that we do that as humans.
I know. Isn't it incredible?
Take something out and...
Crazy. He was not on the list to get this transplant for a terribly long time.
Mm-hmm.
And something in that system, and I'm not sure Matt talks about it in his email to the group. They thought, I think maybe he had an interview or something, and they thought that maybe they just rated him real high in terms of his desire for successful...
Societal contribution?
Something like that.
I believe it.
So I think it was a month or something he waited, which, I mean, how fortunate is that? I mean, I know people have waited so long for that sort of a thing. Double lung is huge, too. But
how long that month must have been. Oh.
I mean, imagine if you're waiting a year for a liver, which is not unusual. So anyway, this event Saturday starts at 2 p.m. and goes till, I think, isn't it till closing? Does it say in the...
Midnight.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah,
it's at Tommy's Bar and Grill, which is right near Joe Louis Arena downtown.
Yeah, great little bar.
We got all the information on our...
It's also a bar full of history.
Oh, God. Yeah, there is.
It's really cool.
The Purple Gang.
Yep.
Yeah, the basement, the bowels of Tommy's Bar and Grill apparently was used for some very illicit things a long time ago.
That's right.
And if you hit Tommy at the right time, he might even take you down there. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy's the big man. You'll see him when you get there. You'll know who Tommy
great
is.
Great guy.
Yep, Tommy's an old friend and kind enough to put this thing on for Sanchez to raise some money. There's going to be all kinds of auction items. Matt's going to tell us more about it tomorrow night. But anyway, hopefully, I think we're going to have a lot of the gang there. I think Trudy's going to try to go. I'm going. I've been bugging LaDuff. LaDuff's usually pretty charitably minded. I believe he will go. I don't have a for sure yet, but I'll pound him on Friday if I have to.
I put myself at about 65%.
That sounds good. Michigan's not on, so I know you don't have an excuse.
No, I do have stuff to do, but yeah.
Are you going to go by, Jade? I know you have your son over the weekend, but...
Well, I'm going to be working at the Free Press Marathon.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So yes. I'll be down
I'm going to be running in it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, right. Me too.
Amazing.
It'll take me a year to finish.
I'll be down there. There's events on Saturday, so once we get wrapped up, I'll try to swing over there.
Cool.
I should be able to get there. It'll probably be just a little bit late, though.
Well, yeah, and it will be going late. And they've got a lot of TVs down there, and they got great food and all that. So,
a big old football game on that night.
It's just basically going to just considered a veritable sports bar to hang out in on a Saturday with a lot of people you like.
Watch Ohio State and Wisconsin.
What are there some other good games on this weekend?
I think that's the big primetime game. Obviously, top eight matchup. Wisconsin's, I think, still eighth, and Ohio State's second.
Well, I got to tell you,
it's a big-ass game.
I'm probably going through what you were going through last year when Harbaugh first took over. Finally, my team is good again. The Hokies were really struggling there for 4 years. They were 7-6, 7-6, 8-5, 7-6. But they just weren't playing that well, and they were losing by large margins when they lost. And now, all of a sudden, they're good again, and it's so much fun on Saturday.
Yeah. Justin Fuentes.
God, has he made a difference? Their offense is just...
Well, that's why they hired him. He's an offensive genius.
Yeah, they got the Beamer recruited the guys. He had the wide receivers, an all-ACC guy, Isaiah Ford. He's got a good running back named McMillan who ran for 1,000 yards last year. They've got a stable of running backs. They've got about really four guys that are good, and they play them, too. I really believe in the fresh back thing in college, especially.
Yeah, rotating them.
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't used to like it because I used to have the one guy I like. I'm like, why can't that guy get the ball 25 times? But I've come around on that.
The other big game that night is the Stanford-Notre Dame game.
Oh!
The failed expectations bowl.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I think Stanford's done, by the way.
I don't think Notre Dame is...
I was saying this 3 weeks ago to a buddy that...
What's wrong with them?
I just think they're done on the national stage because their offense is just bland. There's not much...
It has been.
When Harbaugh was there, and like he does at Michigan, multiple sets, you know...
Well, they had a line, too, that was just ridiculously good.
They kind of have that. They don't have the quarterback. I think I just think they're done.
They had a run of good quarterbacks, too.
And when you see rising Washington and Washington State and even Colorado, it's like, okay, you can feel the tide shifting a little bit.
Yeah, Colorado all of a sudden looks pretty darn good. You know, I thought it was just made a good game against Michigan, but they are good.
They should have beat USC. They kicked a field goal to make, once again, a one-possession game, with about 7 minutes left.
Ah!
They never got the ball back. I don't think they ever got the ball back.
Oh, what, they were up by 3 and they kicked a field goal?
It's 21-14 and they kicked a field goal to make it 21-17.
Oh.
Which is stupid. I'm 4th and 8, I think it was.
Yeah, I've always agreed to be on 4th down. I think it's so obvious. The research is there. And sabermetrics are so accepted in sports now. Why won't they accept that research in the football circles?
Well, it's funny because Spielman doing the game on Sunday was fun listening to him. But he hit the nail on the head. It's so obvious. You play to win the game. You don't play to
lose. To win the game.
It's just a matter of, do you want to win or do you want to not lose?
Are people still doing those funny songs?
You know what? I haven't seen it.
I haven't heard one in a long time. I love those.
What's his name? DJ Steve something. Right, I haven't seen anything new in a long time. Maybe they just ran its course.
Can we play that stupid song?
You know, like Ken Bone is starting to run his course.
Oh, yeah, Ken Bone. He's going to get every second of his 15 minutes, though.
When does that end? When do you think Bone ends?
I think it might take a while. I'd say the election will certainly be there. He might be good till election day.
I kind of agree.
And the day after. And I could even see the guy making an occasional return engagement when he decides what he wants to market with his name on it. There's got to be some get-rich-quick scam in there.
Love, Bones, Hate. When is that one going to come out? Just to turn his name in any campaign.
How can you not love that guy?
Stronger to Bone Gather. Isn't that to Stronger Together? Love, Bones, Hate.
Yes.
Deal me bone.
Bone me in.
Jimmy Kimmel last night. Did you see him on Kimmel?
I saw a quick little highlight. Some guy that looked like him asking a question.
He really does a nice job. Yeah, at the end, he had a guy in the audience who was dressed just like him. But Jimmy introduced him and says, "Ken, do you know how adorable you are?"
He is adorable. You know, they were talking about him on GMA, and I can't remember who was doing the story, but they're like, he was just a shining light of positivity and acting the only person acting like an adult on the stage. And I'm like, no, it's because his name's fucking Ken Bone,
please.
And he's adorable.
Yeah, and he is a human. He's
hug.
The human, what's the term?
An embodiment of a human
embodiment
hug.
Of a human hug, yeah.
Exactly. If he had the olive suit on that he ripped the seat of his pants, which, by the way, there's a GoFundMe to get him a new suit.
I saw that.
If he had the suit on, he wouldn't have been as, you know, lovable.
No.
It's that damn sweater.
Although him in an undersized suit might have made him... That might have been funny, too. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Well, there was a guy that, much like myself, had no neck. I don't know if you saw him in some of the crowd shots.
Yes, they did. I did.
It was just like a head that does like a Play-Doh head that just got smushed onto a suit. And the kid smushed it too far, so the neck went bleh, and kind of spread out. But that guy didn't get to ask the question. Just Ken Bone. Best part is the guy that asked the question about, you know, say something nice, probably thought he had a killer question was going to be the star of
the
town hall, and nobody cares about him because Bone blew him out of the water.
That guy looks like just the person who
soft,
maybe the embodiment of what everything is supposed to be now, with everyone being a robot, never saying anything, never rating a woman, for God's sake.
Can you guys just say something nice about each other?
What kind of sack? What a sack question that is. It did nothing. It meant zero.
Can you guys please comment on each other's appearance? What's
if he said, "Can you please comment on each other's genitals?" That might have been interesting. Well, I'm sure Donald is very small, or he wouldn't act the way he acts.
I mean, look at his hands. He has.
Where did this thing about his hands start?
Tiny hands.
Where did this start with the hands?
There is a reporter that wrote a story on him, and made comment somewhere about his hands being small.
Are they small?
I don't know. Everyone's running.
I've never really noticed, but I keep hearing that.
But Trump would find pictures of himself, circle his hands, and send them to this reporter to prove that his hands weren't small. like all the time, like write a note in his gold pen, his gold Trump pen, that would say something like, "Do these hands look small, Donald Trump?" And circle them.
You know, it's just so easy to be his opponent. All you have to do is get anyone, someone, anyone to criticize him. He has to respond. He can't help himself. It's like being, it's like the hammer to the knee.
I know.
Can't resist.
It's reflex.
Ugh. Today is October the 11th. And rock and roll history, a number of items, interesting items. 1955, Elvis, Carl Perkins, and Johnny Cash kicked off a tour of the Southern U.S. That had to be a gigantic tour.
Wow.
Elvis, Cash, and Perkins?
Yeah.
What was
Who opens?
Perkins.
Perkins. Yeah. And then who closes, though?
Elvis. Elvis. Are you kidding me, man?
Jay Cash would do that?
That's a tough one.
Hard.
They're both early in their career. It's 55. Cash wasn't that. Neither one of them was that big, but Elvis was blowing up.
Yeah.
1965, this is a funny one. Jerry Marsden of Jerry and the Pacemakers. Remember the song, Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying?
Sing it for me.
You want to load it, Jay?
Sing the whole song for me, Jerry.
It's a pretty cool song. It's a ballad, but I thought it was a good tune. It was number one, I believe, for a week or two here. Jerry Marsden, he's tight with the Beatles, by the way. He's from Liverpool. He married the secretary of his fan club.
Yeah.
On October 11, 1965. She was dating George Harrison when Jerry asked her out.
Oops. Big mistake.
But the Beatles were in Hamburg, so she accepted for the date. She must have been hot, by the way, if George Harrison was dating her and Jerry Marsden wanted to date her. Anyway, so she accepted, and then they were a big item, and he wrote Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying about her. I don't know why he's concerned that the sun is going to catch her crying. I don't know what the deal is there. Supposedly they're so happy and in love, but that's the story.
Huh.
1969, Grand Funk's debut On Time
Grand Funk
was released.
Homer. Remember Homer?
Grand Funk?
Grand Funk? You don't know Grand Funk?
I know. Isn't Grand Funk the perfect man for Homer to be just in love with? By the way, I watched Sunday's episode.
Wasn't it great where they moved to Boston?
Oh, my God. The Boston Patriots, they had essentially the cartoon version of the Boston Patriots, and Homer is a Springfield Arrows fan. And those obnoxious Boston fans.
the
was that funny. The kissing the rings, too. And then Bart has a Boston hat on it when he comes to breakfast, and Homer just loses it. And Bart's kissing his fingers to kiss the rings, you know. Shit, that was funny.
Yeah,
God, is there a piece we could play that? Play that.
Is this the minute 54?
Fossil 103. Classic Fossil from ABBA to Zeppelin. Come on, land.
Wait, he didn't call it Get the Lead Out?
Mr. Simpson!
Did he say Led Zeppelin?
Said Lead, comma Zeppelin. Or Zeppelin, comma Lead.
Oh. Railroad. You guys back there know Grand Funk, right? Nobody knows the band Grand Funk? The wild, shirtless lyrics of Mark Farner? The bong-rattling bass of Mel Shocker? The competent drum work of Don Brewer?
Competent?
Oh, man!
Three
For more
piece.
Information on Grand Funk, consult your school library.
Are you queuing up something from Sunday? Mm-hmm. Got you. It was so freaking funny.
Mississippi Queen! When I listen to a really good song, I start nodding my head like I'm saying yes to every beat. Yes, 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 this rocks! And then sometimes I switch it up like, no, 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 don't stop a rocking!
Dad, please, you're embarrassing us.
No, I'm not. I'm teaching you about rock music. Now, Grand Funk Railroad paved the way for Jefferson Airplane, which cleared the way for Jefferson Starship. The stage was now set for the Alan Parsons Project, which I believe was some sort of hovercraft.
Dad, no one cares about any of your stupid dinosaur bands. You have the worst, lamest taste in music ever.
I'm just trying to party with you guys.
Oh, first of all, it's partay. And second, we wouldn't partay with you if you were the last dad on Earth.
Suicide Notes, formerly Good Vibrations. Homer's walking in.
You don't know Grand Funk? Oh, man. I just read a great article, if you're a Simpsons fan. The Ringer, which I believe is Bill Simmons' site, had a big story on You Only Move Twice, which is one of the favorite Simpsons episodes of all time, where the James Bond character played by Albert Brooks, hires him away from Burns.
Uh-huh.
And then he's just a Bond villain, but Homer thinks he's a really good boss. It's just a classic episode, just a good write-up on the writer of that episode.
And oh, were you going for the Boston the fans? Yeah, 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 I love this part.
I love the highlight, too, of Brady playing.
Yeah. Drop dead gorgeous. Springfield's losing to Boston. Oh, back it up a little bit for the Brady reference.
Yeah.
Springfield's down 10-7 at the half, I think. So.
I can't stand that pretty boy quarterback. Thinks he's so handsome just because he's drop-dead gorgeous.
The only reason Boston wins is because they cheat. Listening in on our team's headsets, fattening our cheerleaders. You know, for three games last year, Boston used a volleyball painted brown.
That was never proven, you Springfield screw job.
Ugh, Boston fans, in town for the Dennis Lehane book tour.
Go kiss a Kennedy, you rule-breaking cranberry squeezers.
We don't cheat. We won 12 division titles in 10 years, fair and square.
You docs are 12 just and jealous 10. Of all our championship rings.
You're the one who's jealous. I only wish I could be as jealous as you.
Jesus, this place has got more knobs than a hardware store. Knobs. I hate this town.
So don't I. Friggin' doorknobs.
Automatic. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
The Americans' last chance for a miracle.
Oh, this is great.
Springfield, put it away. We're going to win one. We're finally going to win one.
The QB handsomely takes the snap. Sexily steps back to pass. And with God-given good looks, fires it downfield. But there's no one there to receive it.
Nice pass. What a first ballot Hall of Fame loser.
But the ball is caught by the American's mascot, Flappy the Flag. Flappy running unopposed into the end zone for a surely illegal touchdown.
Throw it to the mascot!
After further review, Flappy the Flag is listed on the American's 53-man roster and reported eligible. The result of the play is a touchdown.
Once again, the Americans...
Gotta cover the mascot.
Oh, that'll put a smile on Coach Bonderjuck's face.
There's Belichick, puts his hood on, frowning.
Not again! They cheated! You cheated!
Did not. You gotta cover the mascot. Use your noggin, play smart. Flappy's on the roster.
On the roster.
I like all the perfect O words. Oh, it was a good episode. There's been a bunch of good episodes the previous
week.
Leave
the volume up. I want to see a little more of this.
About it. I'd be classed all the way like Mark Harmon. Pure American elegance. I tell you, the next Boston fan I see, I'm just going to lose it. Lose it so hard.
Bart's wearing a Boston hat.
How could that hat, your head, that team, my son?
Hey, Dad. Caught the game last night. Tough loss for your guys. Guess we just wanted it more.
Oh, am I in the right house? Because no one in my house would ever be caught dead wearing Boston Americans gear. Dead.
I feel you, Homer. Sucks to be a loser. Unlike the 6-time Mega Bowl champion Boston Americans.
Are you surprised they use Boston Americans and not New England Patriots and just...
Give me that hat.
I still want to be sued, I guess. I don't know.
They've done it before, though. They used other real teams.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, I remember... Homer was gifted the Denver Broncos from from the James Bond character.
Homer ran through Flanders' fence, and he's got fence pieces sticking in his midsection.
Get in.
Picking up Bart at school.
Look around, son. This is your hometown. And the Springfield Adams are your hometown team. Since 2003, when we stole them in the middle of the night from Portland. What kind of life can you have here as a Boston fan? See?
Why are you wearing that Boston hat? This is Adams country, bro.
I would pluck out my own eyes if I did not have a callback for a web-only Olive Garden commercial.
They're just trying to hat-shame me. Face it, Dad. Boston is the Bart Simpson of cities. All those awesome Southies in The Departed? Those are my people!
People? The dog and the baby are your people.
It all goes back to the Boston Tea Party. A prank so kick-ass, it started a country.
Come on, pal, what do you say? Just lose the hat. For your old man.
Nope. I think I'll stick with the bad boys.
He puts a bumper sticker on the side of the car.
Before God sees.
Before God sees.
Kramer grabs a piece of chalk and writes "free car" on the windshield, runs away.
You notice later, Mo was driving the car.
No, I didn't.
In one of the shots, yeah.
Stupid city has the best everything. Bands, comedians, chowder, their so-called cream pies, which are actually cakes. And
why don't you let me take your mind off?
Do you like how they portrayed Gronkowski?
With
did you see Gronkowski at the end?
You know, I missed the last 5 minutes.
I'm going to speed forward. I don't know why the Gronkowski character made me laugh. So they move to Boston, and everybody falls in love with it. And, of course, you know, but they end up having to move back. It was a move for Lisa. Lisa, of course, loves it with all the universities, but nobody else does.
And all the nerds.
And, yeah, and there's a big parade for the Patriots or the Americans, whatever they call them on there, on the show. And Homer would not put the hat on, but in the parade is the Gronk character.
Picked out the perfect Boston activity to help celebrate our move.
See, Bart's trying to get them to move back home.
Not just
why does Bart want to move home?
Because he doesn't like Boston. American. It turned out. There's Brady.
Is that Gronk?
Yes.
It's a state holiday because the league overturned
once again,
the
they don't use his real name.
Using magnets to affect the coin toss. Pretty cool way to celebrate our new hometown, right, Dad?
As a Bostonian, I definitely support my team.
Hey, Bonk, can we get a picture?
Hell to the duh, little bro.
Hell to the duh.
Come on, Homer, put on the hat.
I have to support my hometown team without putting
total
on a hat.
Meathead.
Let's go on your head.
Hats go on your head. You gotta wear the hat.
That's pretty much all of Gronk. Everyone's horrified he won't put the hat on.
You did this on purpose. My future is at stake. So don't is mine.
It's just a hat.
You can do it, homie. Think of the candle pins. This is our extra
ball. Oh, candle pin bowling. He loves it because you get three balls.
Yeah.
Life goes.
He broke the hat in two.
Every stereotypical Boston person was in the crowd, too. They cast a cheers.
You cheat. You flip out when people say you cheat.
There's Mo. There's Mo driving the car. So, yeah, that's pretty much
all right.
Well, we can't just watch The Simpsons for all of Part 2, or
why
we would.
Not?
The Part 2 people will go apeshit.
I still love that
show. What kind
show,
of Part 2 is that? All Simpsons viewing. It was funny as hell, though.
Part 2 people love The Simpsons.
I know, they do. Simpsons are... God, Simpsons. Every time I fail to watch it, I go, how can I not watch The Simpsons tonight? And then when I watch it, I laugh my ass off. I don't know why. I think I just expect The Simpsons to be around forever. So
yeah.
I don't feel like I have to watch it. And yeah. We always have a million things to do Sunday night. Anyway, where was I? Grand Funk.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, I forgot. Sorry.
Debut album On Time was released on this day in 1969. It was bashed by critics.
Really?
Bashed. Yeah. And actually, they took some pretty good bashings for the bulk of their career. Eventually, of course, they sold enough records that people knew there was something decent going on there. 1970, this might be my favorite item of the day. Elvis Presley receives an honorary police badge and is in fact sworn in as a special deputy of Bel Air, California.
Wow. That's great.
1971, John Lennon's Imagine is released as a single off the Imagine album. It peaks at number 3, by the way. It didn't even reach number 1, surprisingly. 1975, the first SNL was October the 11th, the first ever, that is. George Carlin was the host. Billy Preston performed, and also Janis Ian sang at 17, the most depressing song ever, anywhere.
Why?
I learned the truth. It's because it was a hit right then.
Doesn't
life
really fit the
was
rest
meant
of the
for
show,
beauty
though.
Queens. I know.
Were there any great sketches on that show? I mean, there's always the open, right, where Chase... Wasn't Chevy Chase that played Ford?
Were there any good skits, what, in the first show, you mean?
Yeah, the very first one.
I don't remember the first episode that well. God, this is the most... This song is such a bummer. Meant for beauty queens. This would be a... This song would be number one for 40 weeks if it came out now. It's 17.
Is she talking like this?
I never knew
the Friday night charades of youth were spent on one more
beautiful than me.
At 17, I learned the truth.
Why didn't she kill herself? I mean, it sounds horrible, doesn't it?
In those
All right, enough of this hog. Sorry. Of course, she's beautiful in her own way, inside. Which is what matters, right? Right?
Yes,
yeah,
of course.
Of course, jeez.
Sorry.
1989, Michael Jackson attends the opening of the Michael Jackson Auditorium at his former school, his elementary school, Gardner Street Elementary.
Whoa, that must have been so hard that old day.
Oh, God, yeah. But 14 years later, in November 2003, when he was on trial for molestation, his name is covered.
What?
Leaving just auditorium showing, which to this day, apparently, it's just the auditorium, no longer the Michael Jackson Auditorium.
Well, that sucks. Can't Leonard Rowe buy it and put his name on it?
He's a molester. Rowe. He was a molester. Come
Leonard
on.
Rowe audit. No, I know, but can't somebody just take it and rebrand it?
I don't know. Nobody cares.
No one does care.
1991, Apple Computers settles with the Beatles. Their lawsuit the name Apple and logo rights. The Beatles got $29 million.
Really?
I mean, as if they need money. Not bad.
Wow.
1997, Elton John is at number one in the charts with Goodbye, England's Rose.
Oh, God.
I don't even know what the... Is the name of that Candle in the Wind 2 or something?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Good God. Of course, it was on top of the charts forever. The biggest selling single of all time, even passing Bing Crosby's ridiculous. White Christmas. I know. The number one album, by the way, in the UK was Urban Hymns by The Verve.
Yeah.
Great record.
Great album.
What's the great song on there?
Bittersweet Symphony, God, Drugs Don't Work.
Bittersweet Symphony is the best.
Lucky Man, I believe, is on there.
That side, which would be the side of the album, I guess, if you had a vinyl. I love that side.
They stole this, though?
I know. I still don't hear it in the Stones song. I swear to God, I've listened to the Stones song three times. I don't get it.
Honestly, because it's not a Stones version of a Stones song. It's somebody else's cover of a Stones song. Does that make sense?
But if they added something to it, then why would...
It's like an electronic version of a Stone song, like an orchestrated version of it from 1970. And they pay, you know, they had the approval from the Rolling
Stones.
Well,
then they should have gotten the money. Not the Stones.
Yeah, but the Stones have credit for that song.
Okay. I'm sure they all made money in the end.
I mean, I don't care because I love this song.
Oh, I do too.
You know the Drugs Don't Work, right? Or Lucky Man. Those are... Great
yeah,
song.
No, the songs right after this on the disc are great. The next, the next four songs, I think. But I always listen to this song, and then I would, you know, either take the disc off, or eventually, I finally listened to the record and found it to be pretty good.
Well, the Stones get writing credit for this song now, I believe.
Yeah, so. They do. Let's see, what else? 1999. Oh, what a sad day. Debbie Rowe filed for divorce from Michael Jackson.
And you thought, this wouldn't last. Ooh. That's the other bitch.
He, of course, received full custody of all his biological children with Debbie Rowe.
Wow, how's that work?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy?
She put up a massive fight in court for him.
I know. She fought so hard, and she, to this day, I think she spends, you know, what, every a day, every 9 years with him?
Every 9 years.
I mean, what an absolute joke.
I know.
And how silly that, that the media, nobody ever even said it. I mean, we all said it. But was it ever said publicly that these are not his kids?
No. And what's funny is, remember when he passed away, you would think they would want to be consoled by their mother? No, they were all consoled by their aunt, Janet, and the uncles.
It was a joke.
Remember when she was on stage, when Paris was on stage?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, where was her mom?
Nowhere.
Her mom wasn't even at the funeral.
Did Debbie Rowe even, did she even drop those brats? Do you suppose, did she have those kids? I mean, I guess she did.
I think she did, yeah.
But she took the sperm from the doctor,
Dr.
Arnold Klein.
Now, Blanket's the mysterious one where he
came
that
kid just appeared from nowhere.
From Mexico, right? Don't they think someone in Mexico gave birth to him?
I don't know. I don't really know the story on that.
That's what it was, yeah.
But, you know, the funny thing
is... He went down there and banged some tail down in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Next thing you know, she's shipping him the kid and Jacko's got to raise him.
The part that was, to me, the most appalling was when Joe Jackson said, oh, yeah, they have the musical talent. They have that Jackson musical ability. I can see it in them already. What? They're three white kids. They're three white kids. They're not your grandkids. Who are you kidding? They don't have any musical ability. They have the musical ability of Arnold Klein and Debbie Rowe, which is none. Good
rest
God.
Rest in peace, Dr. Klein.
A fucking joke. And then, 1995, Tupac Shakur was released on $1.4 million bond. Suge Knight put up the dough.
Oh, yeah.
But it got him out. He got a three-album deal out of it with Suge Knight. Or Suge Knight got the three-album deal, I should say. But, of course, he would be shot and killed shortly after that. And then finally, for October the 11th, 2006, Madonna adopts a one-year-old boy from Africa.
Adopts. Steals.
Yeah, she just picked out a kid and said, he's mine.
Is this International Steal a Kid Day?
Apparently. I mean, she literally goes in there and says,
oh, no, because Debbie Rowe got divorced. I'm sorry.
I love that kid. That kid is now mine. She apparently can just point to a child in any other country but America, and the kid is hers.
And I'm calling him David, as she said as she got on the plane.
Yeah, and the father, of course, tried to put up a fight, but, oh, come on. You're only the father. She's Madonna.
And they said, if you really love what his name is now, David, if you really love David, you'd let him be raised by Madonna. That's what they told him.
Oh, funny.
Jay, will you pop me up? This is the song that it was actually based on, Bittersweet Symphony. The Last Time is the Stone song, but it's this version that they stole. And you'll hear it in it. This is the Andrew Oldham Orchestra.
But I don't hear, this will be the last time, this will be the last time, baby, the last time, I don't know. Oh, no. Where's that?
Well, let me jump forward. Must be later.
I don't know why. That sounds like Stones to me.
That's pretty smart of them to steal the part of the song that doesn't sound like the Stones part. But you clearly hear Bittersweet in it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I don't hear the Stones. I don't hear the original. That's what's so weird about it. I mean, it's such a blatant ripoff. Oh, I kind of hear I Don't Know Why. Just barely. I don't know why. Oh, no. Doom, doom, doom. All righty. Moving along, there is quite a bit out about Brian Wilson's bio, which, we heard about a month and a half ago that was coming. And Brian Wilson, you figure, well, it's got to be interesting if nothing else. I mean, whatever story he tells, whether it's the truth or not, yeah, it'll be a nutty kind of thing. And apparently it's pretty, I mean, he's on point. He's telling the stories about his abusive father, which I think people are most interested in because Murray Wilson, we've heard the tapes. He was crazy. He was a nut. He was a megalomaniac. He did turn his kids on to music, which is the only good thing he did.
He beat them.
Oh, he beat the shit out of them. No, he was a horrible guy. I mean, and some of the stories in here are just brutal. Brian had anxiety attacks by the time he was 14 years old, and constant voices screaming in his head drove him into escape into drugs, alcohol, and finally the hands of a charlatan doctor sounds what was diagnosed as mental illness. Duh. In spite of it all, Wilson became a musical genius, albeit a tortured soul, and co-founded, along with brothers Dennis and Carl, the quintessential American band, the Beach Boys. But along the way, we hear some interesting things like... Wilson struggled with anxiety as he was growing up in Hawthorne, California, 5 miles from L.A. International Airport.
This part's weird.
There was the constant noise from Hawthorne Municipal Airport, which bothered him. Also, the airplane exhaust fumes.
Yeah. Freaked him out.
The three Wilson brothers grew up in humble but a troubled home with a sweet mother who was a homemaker and the abusive father, Murray. Brian was born in 42, Dennis in 44, Carl in 46. They lived a few miles from the ocean, but they never went to the beach. When their father took him to the Pacific Coast beaches, where there was little surfing the size of the ocean, frightened Brian Wilson. He had no interest in the sport after getting conked on the head with a board.
Probably by Murray. Mm. It's probably Murray's board.
No doubt. He went deaf in one ear after a neighborhood kid hit him in the head with a lead pipe. That was Murray, too.
And then pointed at the kid and said, I can't believe that kid just hit you.
Arrest that kid.
You're soft. You're flatting.
His father, Murray Wilson, worked for a company that sold laths, but he loved music and steered his three sons into singing and playing in the garage he had converted into a music room. And that was, again, probably the only contribution he made. He sang and wrote songs that were even performed on the Lawrence Welk show.
Ooh! That's
Murray. But Murray Wilson's personality was as bad as his love for music was good. He was rough and tough with his three sons, grabbing him by the arm, shoving them, hitting them with open and closed hands. My dad was violent. He was cruel, Brian wrote. He drank too much, became a monster. He didn't know how to deal with his son's fears. Whenever I got afraid, he would yell at me or slap me or call me a pussy, Wilson said.
Murray.
He'd slap the boys across the face again and again and again. When he didn't put his hands on us, he'd try to scare us in other ways. He would take out his glass eye and make us look into the space where the eye used to be. Ah! Oh, I'm tortured. I didn't even see it. Tortured for life and just from knowing that that happened.
Oh, come on. Give Murray some credit. That's a pretty good move to freak your kids out.
Oh,
right?
Gross. Oh, my God. Is that awful?
Give him points for uniqueness. To freak your kid out.
Oh. Oh, my God. Did you know anybody with a glass eye when you were a kid or ever?
Mm-mm.
No? There was a kid in Little League, Tom Porter, actually. He was a great player, too. He had a glass eye. So, you know, he used to hit 350, 400 with a glass eye.
Really?
Yeah, he was a great swimmer in high school.
He pop it in and out all the time?
No, he didn't. He never did that.
How'd you know he had a glass eye? Was it obvious?
I think if once you knew, it was obvious. But he had an accident, you know, when he was like 9 or 8. And so people knew he had knocked his eye out. Required a glass eye. So everybody knew it. And then once a few people know, of course, everyone knows. But he was...
Did he always go, think of how good I would have been if I had both eyes?
You know, he never... I never heard him say anything like that.
Wow.
But he went into swimming, became his true love, probably for that reason.
That makes sense.
Maybe. Because he wasn't a real big guy. Wasn't big enough to play football, and he's a great swimmer. Brian had, sometimes I provoked my dad...
Did you swim nude with him?
Oh. Oh, my God. I have to tell you something. This is going to blow your mind.
Uh-oh.
I never swam nude with Tom, but... Let me just finish this, and sorry. I'll tell you, my sister, an incredible revelation for my sister. Brian then added, sometimes I provoke my dad. Once I took a shit on a plate and brought it to my dad. Here's your lunch, I said.
Good for you. Good for you, Brian
Nice
Wilson.
Family.
Good job, Brian Wilson.
He was sitting down.
I was hoping he was going to take a dump in his eye socket when he popped his eye out. Dad, I can't see it. Can you lay down and lean back a little bit?
Oh, my God.
Take a look into this eye.
He was sitting down with his pipe in his mouth. Get in the bathroom, he said. Then he came in and whipped the hell out of me. I was bringing the plate to him because of the times I didn't deserve. There were hundreds of those, at least.
Well, Brian, do you think Brian, in a way, kind of still protects Murray? Like, because he said, at one point he said, I don't think he understood how to deal with a... You know, a kid that had anxiety issues.
I think most kids...
Murray Wilson's just an asshole.
Even troubled kids, I think when they're adults, they try to put some kind of a spin on it. Yeah, because I'm reading Springsteen's book. So much of what's going on in Bruce Springsteen's head stems from his father.
Yeah.
Who did not accept him, did not encourage him, did not seem to love him in any way, shape, or form, and was an alcoholic... who sat at the dinner table when he got home from work and drank and drank and drank and drank and drank and drank, and the rest of the house just waited for him to blow up.
Oh, God. I mean,
that was their life. His mother was a sweet lady who somehow, for some reason, suffered this guy. And I got to tell you, it's just so strange how much impact it had on Bruce. And, you know, having an alcoholic father, I did relate to a lot of this stuff. Just... the drinking after work and, you know, dinner being put off for hours and hours. And like, God, when are we eating dinner? And, you know, oh, one more drink. My dad was not nasty like Bruce Springsteen. His father was really just a mean SOB. But he, you know, as Bruce got successful, you know how weird.
Yeah.
You're this asshole to your kid his whole life. And then your kid becomes this superstar. So Bruce, at 35, Bruce is talking about, I think it's around the river, his father calls him. It's
oh, like, wow.
My father's never called me before. How weird. And he answers the phone. His father invites him to go marlin fishing. And Bruce
is
like,
"Is that going
to
be awkward?"
Well, Bruce was actually excited. My dad wants to do something with me. I mean, he's 35. You'd think with all he has, why would he give a shit? But he did. And he says, "Well, what do I need to do, Dad? You want me to get a boat?" And he says, "Oh, no, I got it covered. It's on me."
Oh, boy.
And Bruce is like, "Oh, boy, it doesn't sound too good." But he goes and... they take a flight from the Springsteen family move from New Jersey to California in 1970, I think it was, when Bruce was 19, which is weird. He just leaves Bruce behind.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an adult, but it still was kind of strange the way they just sort of, boom, separated themselves, went to the promised land. And I just don't think, other than his mother, he heard from his father at all, other than when he'd visit. So he goes on this fishing trip. And this time, of course, Bruce is a giant star. Bruce, you know, he said, I could have rented a 400-foot yacht, mm-hmm. you know. But my dad said he's got it. What am I going to do? So he flies from their California home to Cabo. And he rents a place, you know, and it's okay. No problem. You know, I think they got a room for Bruce, his father, and his neighbor, who was his dad's only friend for the last 15 years of his life. And they get up at 6 in the morning. They go to this place on the beach. It's a little off the beaten path to meet this boat. And Bruce says he hears this diesel sound of an engine kind of chugging around the corner, you know, around the bend.
Oh,
and he's like, what is coming? And he sees this guy as a Cuban guy. I think he said it was a Cuban. No, it was a Mexican guy. And the guy speaks no English. And he's got this boat, which is like a box with an engine.
Just like a regular rowboat with an engine on it?
Yeah, just a piece of shit.
Oh, boy.
And they get in the boat, and they start chugging out towards sea with the diesel.
Oh, no, thanks.
The diesel fumes and a box lunch.
You're a fish from Marlin and that little thing?
And 2 hours later, Bruce tries to communicate with the guy, like, how much further do we have to go? And he says one more. And he thinks he means 1 minute. He means an hour. They chugged 3 hours in this boat.
Oh my God, that sounds miserable.
They get to the spot, and Bruce catches a fish like within seconds. I think he said he had a fish biting. He handed the rod to his father. His father reeled the fish in, and that was the last fish they caught.
Oh,
they caught no more fish.
Aww.
And then on the way home, Bruce said it was like, oh my God, we have to go 3 hours back in this stupid fucking boat. And he said he laid down, and with diesel fumes pouring into his face, he took a nap for a couple hours to get back. And his dad's, you know, like, oh, it'll be better tomorrow. And Bruce said, oh, my God. Anyway, they go to the bar, and Bruce said they drank beer till, I think he said, till late in the night and laughed about, you know, just laughed about it the whole night. He said it sounded like the best night he ever had in his life.
Oh, wow.
With his father. Cool. They had a ball. And they didn't go out with the crazy boat the next day, but I think they went home. But it turned out to be
it's a good story.
The best bonding I guess he could have imagined at that point.
I mean, he could have just taken a dump on his plate and said, "Here's your lunch."
Yeah,
Wilson did.
Could have been worse. And other than that, from the Wilson book, there's a whole story about Dr. Landy, this psychiatrist he meets in the 80s who takes over his life. He starts writing songs with Brian. He takes songwriting credits.
Yeah.
And eventually he ends up in prison, I believe.
Yep.
But
yep.
I can't wait to get that book. It's going to be interesting. There's Murray.
No, listen, syncopate a little.
Syncopate.
Show him how to do it just once, Dad.
Sing it.
Since you put me down.
No. Since you put me down, the booty dee ba ba dee dee ba dee da. Go on, man. Ba doo 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 ba dee dee ba da 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 da.
Word.
Okay.
Loosen up, sweetie.
And watch your mouth.
But since you put me down,
no.
Since you put me down,
since you put me down, baby, that's
it, Murray. You got it.
Syncopated a little, and then you
know,
syncopated. Hey, let's go. He got it now. Sing it
just like you did before. We got the mono. Now let's put the overdub.
Give me the mono, baby.
Deep dabba do. I love when Brian starts making.
Let him sing it once.
You want me to leave, Brian?
No, I just wanted you to let him sing it.
Mother and I can leave now.
He always threatens to leave.
For the first time in my life.
Oh, bull.
Bull.
Brian said, come down, relax, so I did. Syncopate a little. Loosen up a little. You're too tense. Just loosen up.
Look. I just had a bottle of wine. I'm so dizzy.
They have so many kids here. You shouldn't have it. But loosen up. You know what I mean? Loosen up and just forget it. You're doing a great job.
Really, I really am.
Can I tell you something? You did such a wonderful job on the Christmas tree. I couldn't believe it. I'm proud of you.
Bruce's pushing his voice.
I'm the lead, buddy, on the next single. Loosen up and sing from your heart. Right down here. That's all you need. The rest is easy.
Okay, here
that's
we
all.
Go. Let's have a little.
I don't know if I'm the same distance now or not. Do I get...
Well, cinch.
I can't. That close?
Okay, come
this,
on.
This Randy, close, really?
And sink from your heart.
I was way back here.
All right, sink from your heart, then. Come back.
In the article that the Daily Mail had, it had one of the Murrayisms in there. Like Brian was quoted saying one of the Murrayisms.
You mean like syncopate?
No, like, what are you, a big star?
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
There's another, here's another one, other little quick part from that article where he's talking about how bad he was getting on the drugs and his anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
So on bad days, he'd hide in his apartment or his house, wherever he happened to be living at that time. And he says, quote, sometimes I had to go to hospitals for a little while to relax and think or to relax and not think. It was hard at these hospitals. They're very unfamiliar places. Lighting was different than what I was used to, and the sounds were different, and I had a hard time sleeping. On one such occasion in the late 60s, he was in bed trying to fall asleep when he heard a noise at the door. Quote, I turned, and there was a guy there with a huge hard-on.
Oh, yeah.
I looked away from it, up to the guy's face, and he looked just like Tonto. I mean, the actual Tonto from the TV's Lone Ranger
show.
Maybe
he was.
Jay Silverheels. I wasn't sure it was him. He had everything but the horse scout, Wilson writes. Are you Tonto? I said. He just stared at me. Then he turned and left the doorway.
What the hell, Brian? Brian?
Can someone cross-reference that with Jay Silverheels' memoirs? Like Jay Silver. So I walked into Brian Wilson's room. I had this huge hard on, but he recognized me, so I had to turn and leave.
I couldn't do anything. Couldn't do a damn thing.
From his perspective.
And walk out there embarrassed as hell with a big hard on.
Some of the drug stuff is fascinating, too, in the book.
Yeah, Brian is not a proponent of drug taking. Mostly acid is what he tells people they should not do.
Yeah, so now...
I don't know many people who have flipped out on acid, but the ones that do really flip out.
Yeah. The money, too, like you were saying with Dr. Landy's pretty interesting.
Oh, God. So, yeah, $35,000 a month he's paying the guy, plus per diems and all kinds of shit.
Yep.
Brian Wilson, net worth $75 million. That's way below what he should be worth.
Yeah.
But his father sold their whole catalog, every songwriting right they had in 1970, I believe, for, I think, $600,000. It's got to be worth, you know, a couple hundred million, something like that. Hey, can you see if Dr. Eugene Landy has a celebrity net worth?
Brian's doing okay today, he writes. I love being in the chair. If I'm in Los Angeles, I end up there 100% of the days. I love watching Eyewitness News. The content's not very good, but the newscasters are pleasant to watch. I like game shows, but I'm getting tired of watching Jeopardy. It's the same bullshit every day. I like Wheel of Fortune. I like sports, too, mostly baseball, though I'll watch basketball and football. And then, of course, he misses Carl, who, of course, is dead, and Dennis, who's dead.
Yeah. Isn't that strange?
Yeah. Yeah. What a wild story, the whole band.
Brian, my favorite Brian Wilson memories are hearing him on Steve Dahl's show when he was going on his first tour. I think it was when Dr. Landy had sort of righted him. It was like, Brian's okay again, and he's going out to talk and to promote an album. And he was really kind of freaked out about it because he hadn't talked to any media in so many years. And so he gets in there, and just as Steve Dahl's introducing him on, I think it was WLS Chicago or WLUP AM, I'm not sure which one, I think it was AM 1000, Brian starts coughing. And he can't stop coughing. I mean, it goes on for like 2 minutes, and then he's okay, and he takes a sip of water, and he starts, it's like, oh, my God, and starts coughing again. And this just repeats itself like 3 or 4 cycles. They take a commercial break. They come back. He's okay. Starts talking. Starts coughing again. Can't stop coughing. And then finally, after about 20 minutes, and I think 2 or 3 commercial breaks, Brian is sort of okay, and he gets through about 15 minutes.
Oh, how painful.
And then leaves. It was
kinda,
so bad.
I kind of want to just hear him cough through it. That'd be very entertaining radio.
They used to play the audio back of Brian's coughing fit. Yeah, it was really something. Oh, it was weird. And then I saw him on David Letterman not too long after that when...
Was he coughing?
No coughing. But he sat on the couch, you know, and Dave talked to him, and... It was one of these things where you were really rooting for him, like, oh, please get the next word out, you know, because he was just having, he just was not able to really articulate very well.
Seems like a great guy. He's just, you know, mental problems. And
he's brilliant. Yeah. Oh, musically, God, yeah. So brilliant. I mean, God, question. Some of those songs, God Only Knows, and Good Vibrations, and just a, Pet Sounds.
That whole album, yeah.
Yeah, that, and Smile, and oh my God, fabulous. But, anyway, he's having a real hard time with this interview. Just really But he was he did get through it, and it was acceptable. I wouldn't give it an A plus or even a B minus, but he somehow managed for the 5 minutes Dave had to talk to him. And then he says, well, and Brian's going to perform for us for the first time on network television. And yeah, it was a long time, like 20 years. And I'm thinking, oh, no, this is going to be a disaster. Brian goes up to the piano, and he starts singing, and he
kills it.
He's fantastic. He absolutely nailed it. And I think he played, I want to say Do It Again, but maybe it wasn't Do It Again. I don't know what it was, but it was really good. And he sounded good, and, of course, he plays well. But, I mean, I just expected the absolute worst, and he positively nailed it. And it's funny how that is, like Ozzy, who can't talk,
yeah.
and yet he gets
yeah.
to find a microphone and starts singing, and it's great.
We've laughed before, too, about how people will have really bad, like, or thick accents, and they sing, and it sounds American or Midwestern almost.
Right.
It was kind of a stupid sketch, but the sketch on SNL this weekend with the two people, and they'd start singing.
Yes.
They had an Eastern European accent. I don't know why that made me laugh so hard.
It was funny.
It was
good.
So stupid, but.
Hey, did you see the story about Canton Miller Elementary has canceled Halloween? Their
what? Why?
Their Halloween parade. Well,
the clowns?
I couldn't get a good answer out of the story. Charlie Langdon did the story, and they said it was to reduce disruption and to answer those who don't agree with the celebration.
What?
And they said that they had already banned jack-o'-lanterns and witches from
Why?
Halloween there. I don't know. But they had this Halloween walk that they did where the kids in their costumes
yeah,
would all
we
walk
did
for
that.
Yeah, and nope, no more. Not gonna happen.
That's outrageous.
This is what the world's coming to now.
Halloween is one of the best holidays if you have a kid.
Anyone, Easy. You know, if there's
I mean,
just
Christmas then Halloween.
If you just have enough people that don't like something, it goes. It's done. It doesn't matter if everyone else likes it. If there are enough people and they have some crazy explanation as to why it becomes scrutinized, and what can you say? I don't know. It's so stupid.
I see Charlotte's Halloween costume.
Oh, what is she? Oh, yeah.
So you sure. can pretend like you can.
Wait, she already has one?
Yeah. I'm putting
it's
it
only
together.
October 11th.
I just want to see if you even know what that is. Do you know what that is?
No, she looks like a kid with a headband with big ears on it.
She's a Care Bear.
Okay.
She loves her costume. She wears it all the time already. She's pumped for it. She loves Halloween. It's so weird.
Wait, she remembers Halloween from last year?
She says she does. Probably because she looks at pictures all the time.
She would have been, what, a year and 8 months old?
See that idiot, Jay? Yeah. Look how pumped up she is. I know, for Halloween. Here's the best part. I get to dress like a Care Bear too, Drew.
What?
Lucky.
Who's taking those pictures?
Oh, I'm sure Julie will have them. I don't care. You know me, I wouldn't care. I get to be Grumpy Bear.
You're the don't care bear.
Yeah, I was Grumpy say, Bear. Yeah,
did she have, I didn't know if that was her favorite one. I was going to wonder which Care Bear she was. Yeah. So.
It's Rainbow Bear, she says. So.
Is there a Rainbow Bear?
Well, yeah. See, there's the actual bear next to her. I think it's French.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Thanks for pretending.
Well, good for her. I'm glad. Good for you, Charlotte.
Good for you.
I'm glad she likes her costume.
I'll bring her by on Halloween.
It's important for kids to dress up and learn about these traditions.
I can't believe that school is canceling it.
Yeah, I know. They suggested that others may do the same. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I'm sure the clown thing has something to do with it, maybe.
Now, wait. If you don't celebrate Halloween, then don't participate in the parade. It's just that simple, right?
I agree. I mean, I always think there's a simple solution to these things, but now it just seems that whatever it is
so
has
to go. You have
to
ruin it for every other kid that wants to do it because you feel like your kid's going to be excluded because you don't celebrate.
You know what?
Halloween.
The parents love it too. They love getting the pictures of all these kids in their costumes. It's adorable.
What's just like the whole Merry Christmas. Now you have to say Happy
Halloween. Oh yeah.
Holidays,
I mean, how did that ever fly? Yeah. How did this come? How did?
What's wrong with Happy Holidays? Do you have any Jewish friends?
Well, Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah. Well, if you want, it's an economy of words. I'd rather just cover it all in one phrase.
Why can't you say Merry Christmas to somebody who celebrates Christmas?
I don't know what your religious beliefs are.
Well, then don't say anything.
Well, if you don't believe in Christ,
say,
you're not
you.
Jewish, or you don't believe in Kwanzaa, but you like to celebrate the secular idea of the holidays.
I think the idea that in America, the idea that you can't say Merry Christmas at your business,
you
in your window or whatever is ridiculous.
You can absolutely say it.
You can, but people don't.
They can't. Well, it's dumb business on their decision then.
It's just part of the whole trend. It's all in one ball.
That might be the dumbest argument of the last 20 years. People that get upset either way.
Well, I think people feel they should be able to say Merry Christmas in America.
They can. Nobody's stopping them.
Well, I think they want other people to say it too, though.
Well, that's kind of, don't you think that's kind of stupid?
You're not saying what
I'm saying.
I understand their point.
Oh, I understand their point too. I just think it's the dumbest argument.
And then you have the atheists.
Ever had.
The atheists who demand representation,
which is
as
dumb
well.
Too. I think the whole argument's dumb. Who cares as long as you're extending wishes upon somebody? Who cares how it's said?
Other countries don't have this problem, by the way. They just say, this is how it is, and fuck you if you don't like it. Do you think in Iran they would put up with this kind
of
malarkey?
Well, they don't celebrate it.
No, they don't. Well, the Christianity is not exactly celebrated in Iran. And if you are Christian there, then tough shit.
Well, I don't understand that side. I don't understand because Christmas isn't so religious anymore anyway. It's pretty much a secular holiday.
But like we were just covering yesterday with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Women can't drive, but then get the permission
of course.
Of their older son.
Stupid. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, they've come up with a hijab that women can wear when playing sports.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that nice? I don't know. What were they doing before? What were women in WNBA women?
They didn't play sports. They probably weren't allowed to.
So there's no Muslim WNBA players or Olympians?
Know. Hardly any Muslim NBA players. Mm. By the way, the new hashtag had me laughing. The hashtag Muslims report stuff.
Yeah.
Because you remember in the debate, Trump.
Oh, yeah.
The actual quote is, we have to be sure that Muslims come in and report when they see something going on. So now the
Which
hashtag,
wasn't even the question, by the way.
Well, whatever. But then even that statement just is so bland in general that people are capitalizing. And, you know, this one's like, I did laundry this morning, but I still haven't put it away. Hashtag Muslims report stuff. My brother leaves his wet towel on the floor every day. FBI, please deal with this. Hashtag Muslims report stuff. I think my sister drank orange juice straight out of the carton. We'll continue to investigate. Hashtag Muslims report stuff.
Ugh.
The lines at Costco are too damn long, but the samples are in smiley face. Hashtag Muslims report stuff. It's just so silly.
Did you hear about the Louisiana politician who has admitted to sexting with a 17-year-old boy?
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Jefferson Parish President Mike Yenny has apologized for the sext in a video. A married Louisiana politician has released a bizarre infomercial in which he admits...
Married to what? Man or a woman?
A woman.
Oh, yikes.
He admits to sexting a 17-year-old boy. Says he will not leave office. Last summer I was old enough to know better, but I guess I was still young enough to do something stupid. 40-year-old Jefferson Parish President Mike Yenny says in a video posted. His remarks came just over a week after the FBI confirmed he was investigating claims he had an improper relationship with a teen, which included kissing him, buying him underwear, and sending sex of threesome fantasies.
What? Okay. Is his wife still with him?
Because
yes. He's clearly gay.
No, this is just a mistake. It's just a one-time thing where he...
It's not how it works.
...wanted to make out with a 17-year-old boy. It just appealed to him. But he's really
okay.
Happily married. In Thursday's one-minute infomercial, Yenny, a Republican politician...
Can we listen to it? Where's it at?
I got it here.
You have it?
Oh, you got it. Okay, let me just read a little bit more. Republican politician has a 3-year-old daughter with wife Michelle, says his constituents deserve the truth from him. I chose to send improper text to a young man. I won't go into detail out of respect for the rights and privacy of all parties. Yeah, sure. You mean out of...
Especially mine.
Yeah, exactly. Those details are well known. Yenny is accused of having a misguided relationship with a then 17-year-old boy. According to WWL-TV, Yenny was introduced to the youth by a 19-year-old mutual friend at a function being held at the boy's Catholic high school. The relationship was said to have developed through phone and text messages, with Yenny allegedly meeting the boy at his food court job to give him designer underwear.
Ugh.
Hot. It's also alleged the two briefly kissed in the mall's bathroom.
Hot.
In the text, Yenny allegedly
nothing,
asked
nothing
the boy.
Nothing hotter than making out in a mall bathroom.
Fuck yeah. I mean,
God
it's
damn.
The, what is it? It's the forbidden. He's a married dude. He's not, it's
but
forbidden.
It's a mall bathroom.
Yeah, but he's making out with a 17-year-old boy. He's
not
supposed
to be that him. What about the kid?
Well, it's forbidden for him. He shouldn't be making out with a 40-year-old married man.
He's a kid.
He's pumped. He's gay, though. It's also alleged the two kissed in the bathroom. In the text, Yenny alleged... Yeah, no, that's the biggest problem here. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what the biggest problem is. Yenny allegedly asks the boy if he's worn the underwear and says he wants to see him modeling them. He then wants to perform a sex act on the boy and would like a threesome with the boy and their 19-year-old mutual friend.
Can I guess what sex act he wants to perform?
You can guess.
I think he wants to blow him.
I think you're probably right.
I must say that I pitched a tent.
The youth said he was flattered at first by the attention, but became uncomfortable with the increasingly detailed texts.
Oh, man. All right. Where are these texts?
This guy had just directed up a storm, apparently. Like, okay, you're going to put on the underwear. I got you. And then you're going to do this. And then you're going to do that.
This guy had his cock hanging around Lansing, courser style.
He asked me to go with him to his house in Oxford, the youth told WWL. In Thursday's one-minute infomercial, Yenny. Says his constituents deserve the truth. I chose to send him property.
Why do you like going down on me?
Wrong page. Gacy drop is perfect there, isn't it?
Oh, Yenny.
Also, the way you would describe the sexual things you wanted to do to me. And he asked me to be... This is not me, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
He asked me to be the secretary or assistant in the office. That way I could be with him and not be questioned. So he wanted to hire him office.
Isn't that typical, like, molestation grooming type stuff?
Sounds like it to me.
And then he started coming on to me.
The age of consent in Louisiana is 17, so a sexual relationship would not have been illegal. But it has hit Yenny's career hard. In the video, Yenny says he never abused or misused his powers, but only addresses the sexting claims.
But did he hire him or not?
No, he didn't.
Okay, well.
The kid freaked out. The kid was like, this guy's way too crazy.
It's not a love affair. The object is that you're both getting your rights on.
But it is a job. Hell, I'd work for the guy right now.
You think
he wants to perform on me.
He's hiring the guy so he can blow him, like, more often. I mean, wouldn't that alone be reason to... He's not spending the taxpayers' money properly, is he? In my opinion. Let's hear the infomercial. Good music choice.
Hi, I'm Mike Yenny.
I'm addressing you through this commercial because I don't want my words to be edited.
I believe you deserve
the truth from me directly.
All right, we'll just show
some
text summer, then.
I was old enough to know better, but I guess I was still young enough to do something stupid. I chose to send improper text to a young man. I won't go into details
out
of respect for the rights and privacy of all parties.
Yeah, you're
I made a bad decision. I regret my actions. I apologize to the families involved and anyone who I embarrassed.
Looks like he was drunk driving,
especially my own family and the people of Jefferson. Now, I will work every day to prove that good people can rise from a bad decision. I want to reassure the citizens of Jefferson that I never abused or misused my powers as a public official.
Yes, you did. You tried to hire a kid so you could blow him.
I'm afraid of the future because I'm smart enough to never repeat the past.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Prediction, that will burn him in the future.
That wiener is a powerful thing to you.
Well, this is a lot like Anthony Wiener, right? I mean, this is so
easy. I mean, that kid's wiener is a powerful thing to that guy. I think that wiener is going to overpower any kind of decision he doesn't want to make.
I guarantee you there's more than one, right? There's never
one. Oh, my God,
one.
Yes. He's been stuck married to this woman who's got a gross... Oh, God. Oh, pussy. Yuck. Ew. Disgusting. Oh, I was in there. Ew.
He peeks
out of there.
There.
Ah. I mean, it took everything in the world for him not to throw up when he was impregnating her. Honey, why do you keep throwing up when we make love?
I don't know. It's something happens. I start getting these contractions, and it seems to affect my esophagus. It's weird.
You're just so beautiful. You have to puke? Well, yeah, it's how it works for me.
Oh, look how happy they are.
His wife's not.
She's pretty.
Gross. Yeah.
She's pretty.
She's. Oh, man. The picture of the kid.
Oh, God. The wife. How can you stay with that guy? Well, he hasn't been with any women. If he cheated on me with a woman, it would be worse.
No, you know what? She's actually really good looking.
Yeah, she is.
Yenny.
I would think she'd be saying, how can I compete with a penis?
Just take a page out of McGreevy. Wasn't that the guy's name?
Yeah, McGreevy.
Jim McGreevy, and just go hog wild. No one cares. No one cares anymore.
Yeah, go after every cent you can get, because he's got to give it up. He wants to keep it out of the papers. He wants to keep his job.
No, just come out of the closet and live free, dude.
Oh, yeah.
There's a letter sent to him from Jefferson Parish School Board telling me he's not welcome in schools.
Ah!
Stay out of public schools.
Well, if he's going to homo down with their students, I mean, he shouldn't be welcome there.
Oh, man. Yenny. Oh, here's a picture of the kid.
Hot.
Let's see. What is
How hot is he?
He's really hot.
Get a room. Jeez.
I think I was being facetious when I said that. I don't know. I guess he's
let me see.
I guess he's all right, Logan. He looks all of 17, though.
Oh, I can see young. This guy really getting fired up about that kid.
He's openly gay. He's attending a university. Yeah. They actually print his name and everything.
Yeah.
Should we call him?
Yeah, why not?
In an op-ed titled "I Was Seduced by a Politician" published earlier this year, he writes about the alleged affair he had with a married politician from Louisiana. Who sounds
affair?
Sounds an awful lot like Mike Yenny.
Yeah? What do you say about it?
Let's see. He went to school at Jesuit
High
School.
Looking up, Jay? What's the op-ed say?
Went to Jesuit High School in New Orleans.
Pins and needles.
Comes from a good Catholic family in Louisiana, where I learned how to be both a Christian and a Southern gentleman.
What does hella gay mean?
See his Twitter
Super
page.
Gay.
Yeah.
Really?
Like hella, yeah, like over, like really, really gay.
Well, what does that, what does even that mean? Because that's either
really
you're gay or you're not, right?
Well, instead of just one penis, you're like a hell of a lot of them.
You mean like he's polymorphic or poly...
Amorous?
Yeah, polyamorous?
Possibly.
Poly-homosexual amorous?
He's just really gay. Like
if you're gay, you're gay. I mean, it's not like there's a border or an amount of gayness.
Well, I think he means that he's flamboyant.
Oh, okay. So he talks. He talks really flamboyantly.
With a lot of affectation.
I see.
The summer after my high school graduation, I was working a minimum wage mall job when I was approached by a man who, almost fatherly as I was eating a cookie,
oh,
said, "Cut you with your mouth full."
Oh.
There's Yenny's pickup line.
Oh.
Talk about a come on.
Oh.
Afterwards, an acquaintance told me Kevin had seen me at my graduation luncheon and wanted to get to
know me. I didn't know he was gay.
Carnally. He told me, because he's hella gay, because he's so flamboyant, his gaydar was going on.
He
told me Kevin was discreet, a casual gay term for men who are not out of the closet to family members or friends. Not only that, Kevin was married. They began texting and sexting each other.
Texting and sexting. It even rhymes. It's so hot. It's so hot it rhymes.
Well, texting and then... Oh, texting and then...
Texting okay. and sexting.
We talked about our lives and discussed the possibility of eventually meeting to sleep together. Once on the phone, after telling him we should come to the mall to chat before my shift, he said that he couldn't be seen in public with other guys.
He could make out in the ball bathroom.
I was confused, he clarified. He was a politician with a wife and a young child.
But I want to make out with you in the ball bathroom.
That's just unsanitary to me. I don't know why.
Well, that's, you know, I've heard gays respond to that. Like, you know, why is the Oakland Mall bathroom where gays go to make
rest
out?
Rest stops being the stereotypical
spot. And it's because they feel they don't have anywhere to go. So it's got to be somewhere where, you know, anywhere, but not somewhere public. So
the bathroom, the mall bathroom is always an excellent selection because nobody wants to be in the mall bathroom. You can go in a stall and shut the door.
He texted me that he was at the mall's Dillard's and that he saw some underwear he wanted for me to wear for him. I agreed to meet him in the employee bathroom, working through my general discomfort.
I got some undies for you. I picked out some special undies.
He passed by my counter and glanced at the back hallway of the food court. We met in the bathroom. He handed me the Dillard's bag, which held three pairs of designer underwear, worth $75 total. We kissed briefly.
My hand touched the undies, while his hand were also touching the undies.
Daigle said he found the whole thing exciting! I was 17 at the time and flattered to think a married guy wanted to break vows just to be with me.
Yeah.
I want to break vows.
Break vows? He said that?
Yeah.
Oh, he's switching them. He's pulling a switch.
The relationship continued for about a month, involved more sexting, and, quote, failed plans to meet. And it ran references to the underwears he bought me. Man, he was really...
The underwears?
Yeah. He was really tied up with these underwears.
Oh, boy. I got some more ideas for the underwears.
But he grew frustrated with Kevin's flakiness and generally bland attitude about the gravity of the situation. So he cut eventually off communications, blocking the old man's number.
Oh! Well,
unblock him and they'll just come flooding in.
This guy must have been
hounding him with messages. Can you imagine how much of the messages
were? So did you wear those underwears yet? Hey, mister, where's the underwear right now?
Let me picture those underwears.
You're not wearing it? Well, where is it now? It's in my chest at home. Which drawer?
I'll be over in five.
Top drawer?
I'm in Dillard's. Bathroom? Again? Question mark? You up? Question mark? Underwears? Question mark?
Did you tumble dry the underwear?
911-911-911. Eggplant emoji. Eggplant emoji.
Did you say you tumble dried the underwear?
The whole thing has made him wary of older men.
He was 17,
older
man.
Older men.
Man. And the article ends with, still no comment from Yenny.
Well, now we have comment. We have a full video.
So is Yenny, I guess he's not hella straight.
Well, no, he's gay. He's bisexual. Maybe he's pansexual.
I don't know. I got a feeling he's gay.
Yeah. Well, he did produce a child, so maybe he's...
No, he said he just made a bad decision, though. So that means he's straight, but he just made a bad decision.
Yeah, and then just happened to be the first time and got blown up in the public's eye.
He's homo-sexting for months, and every letter of the texting is about sex.
Mm.
Every single text is a sexual text.
Well, how about the fact that regardless gay or straight that he's spending all this time sexting someone, he's supposed to be working for the American people.
And he's supposed to be married to that lovely lady. Oh, gross.
I was wondering why I was into butt stuff so much.
Well, what a lovely story. What a good American fable.
He'll disappear. He won't, you know, until he sexts again.
I hope they don't. Give him a hard time about that. He makes one little decision and didn't work out too well.
Oops!
But he'll never make that mistake again.
Mistake.
Yeah. God, everything I went through today to get ready for the show has Ken Bone in it somewhere. It's funny. He's in the Daily Mirror.
As it should.
I know he's in the Free Press. He's in USA Today. He's in TMZ, and the story everyone loves is that he split his pants on the way to the debate and had to go change.
I know.
And hence the red sweater.
The whole story is too perfect.
Yeah, no, it really is.
What's Ken Bone hiding?
I didn't see him on Fox and Friends this morning, but I'm sure that was... I mean, he's so ready. I've never seen anyone so ready for their 15 minutes. Yeah. Every question he answered on Kimmel, I generally got a laugh or two or three or 3,000. I mean, he was really, he had great answers, everything. I mean, it was all obviously off the cuff too. Finally today, there's the woman who is a mother of six and she's breastfeeding her little girl.
Nice.
And then someone calls her and says, I'm going to be in the hospital for a little while. Could you breastfeed my baby?
Oh, cool.
And she says, oh, I'd love to. And so she posts on Facebook, like anyone would, a picture of the babies two on one, or two on two, the babies who are sucking her tits together.
Well, that's why she's got two boobs, right?
And the kids.
It's rack.
The kids are even holding hands. They're high-fiving. The kids are high-fiving. How about that? How cute. Just like adult guys would. I mean, look at this picture. Look at that. Oh, God, the titties, too.
I know. Jeez. Well, that's the ball most people see. Oh, and her tattoos.
Nice titties. Oh, where's the tattoo? I didn't even notice.
On her left arm.
Gross. What's the tattoo of?
Are they really high-fiving?
Yeah, they're high-fiving.
Or is one, it kind of looks like one's pushing the other hand. Like, get back on your boob. Doesn't it look like the one on the your right?
Could
get back
be.
On your boob, man.
Get your post.
That's my nipple.
What's the tattoo of?
You can't see. See, it's right on her left arm.
Okay.
I don't know what it is.
So anyway, there's an outcry.
What?
How
what?
Dare you breastfeed this stranger's child? And why did you post it on
who
Facebook?
Cares? What? But, is by it the way, weird? Yeah, but who
why
cares?
Why did she post it on Facebook?
I don't know, but why?
Look at these two babies just love my titties. I got to put this on Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. Why is someone horrified by it? Who cares?
Well, what if she has HIV or she has hepatitis?
Well, then
that stranger's baby is going to get sick.
Is it really a stranger?
Let's see. There was something a little weird about that part.
But isn't that kind of the problem, that everybody cares about everything way too much because of social media?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I think it's bizarre that she put it up there. I think it's stupid she even put it up there.
I can't even imagine why she put it up there. Missouri man Rebecca Wanasek. And, of course, as I've said before, every chick who insists, who demands to breastfeed wherever she is, as soon as that kid wants a suckle,
yeah,
it's like, right here, I'm pulling it out, and you're going to see it, and you're going to see, everybody's going to see it if you want to see it, because it's out.
Exactly.
Every woman who has that and insists that this is above board, and this is the way it should be, it's natural, has huge tits.
I know. Always.
It's always never somebody who's like just barely a B cup.
Who's struggling to breastfeed or, yeah.
Yeah. It's always somebody with Mondo tits and Mondo nipples.
It's almost like it's a food emergency. They just got to get it out there or else the titty's going to explode.
She grabbed some unwanted attention when she shared a story on Facebook about helping out a friend. In the post she wrote, she received a random text from one of my friends asking if I could feed a stranger's baby.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She says a stranger's baby. She continued, was there ever a question? The baby's mother's having surgery and the baby's exclusively breastfed and refused a bottle. So the child is starving, literally. When Rebecca subsequently met the
girl. Now it's really full.
I love this kid, too, is like, fuck that bottle, I want titty. Bullshit, I'll starve before I'll go without titty. She marked the baby looked hungry and exhausted. Yeah, the kid can't sleep. It's so busy worrying, when am I going to have some
hungry
tits?
Hungry and exhausted. Okay, now she's a little over the top.
I did what I hope any person would do for my child in time of despair. Despair. No okay. titties, this is despair. Well,
now,
please help
now
me.
Now she's posting herself as a goddamn hero.
I fed a stranger's baby. What I hope any person would do for a child in a time of despair.
Okay. All right.
Along with the story Rebecca shared.
I've totally flipped sides now. I might find the Facebook page and respond. Not because of what she did, but because she thinks she's a hero. When you could give that baby a bottle, trust me.
Rebecca shared a pair of images of the little girl and her own baby tandem feeding and high-fiving while doing so. Actually, they say holding hands, but I know they're high-fiving. But while many chimed in to praise her for the gesture, other Facebook users raged over the revealing post. One wrote, cover up! Nobody wants to see your tits! This is Facebook, not sextbook!
Oh my God. Sextbook? Well, you're the one.
Those kids are having sex!
You're the one getting off on the picture.
Another implied the woman involved had been careless, saying, that can be very dangerous. Who knows if the other person has Hep B or HIV?
Thank you for your concern. Move along.
The other mom gave her kid hepatitis B and HIV, and now this woman's going to get it, and her baby's going to get it. Eventually, Rebecca responded to critics saying she was surprised by just how many people thought it was weird or unnatural because they are boobs.
It is weird.
Boobs are meant to feed babies.
Yeah, your own. It's weird, but I don't understand why you're... You know,
I'm sure in her 30-odd years on the planet, she's never noticed that men like boobs for something else.
Let's hear from her dad.
I'm sure
or
men...
Her dad, the baby's dad.
I'm sure men always, when they're intimate, say, God, you have the most wonderful breasts for childbearing and child feeding, for milking your babies. Seeing Facebook agreed with the critics, as according to a post by Rebecca's husband, Anthony, the social media site disabled her account.
What?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
You are way too into this, lady. My wife did a great thing and Facebook disabled her account, including an image of her original post. Please share this so we can spread the word and show how much Facebook really doesn't care about the good people are trying to do. God, she wants a medal. Oh,
I know. That's what's bothering me about
it. They want to spread the evil and hate around the world. I'm very proud of this woman and everything she stands for. I'm proud to call her my wife.
Good. Great. See ya. All
post right. Isn't the first time the family found themselves in the news.
Oh, really?
Last year, they lost custody of their five kids after doctors found out their daughter, Zayden suffered a broken arm and three fractured ribs. This was later said to be the result of a complex medical condition. Okay. And I don't know.
Oh boy.
I better wrap this thing up than with a double titty feed. Double titty feeder. Gonna wrap this up here.
She's a hero, man.
And she is really feeding them babies.
Totally.
All right. We'll catch you mañana. Maz will be with us. Yes, it'll be 105.1 lineup. Yep. Already got verification. Maz is in. So are we going? We'll talk about this after.
That's Wednesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Yeah, tomorrow's Wednesday.
You're thinking of Thursday.
The Drew Mark and Mash show is tomorrow.
Yes.
Trudy on Thursday. Charlie on Friday.
I say early for Trudy's sake.
Yeah, we're going early Thursday?
I think so.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Jay has to ruin everything by being a hero.
Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah.
Jay and his marathon.
Being a hero.
Do we have to do anything special for Maz? Should we all wear
no.
Abs t-shirts?
Oh,
or
oh yeah. I forgot about the revelations. I think we should find out more of Maz's fantasies, shouldn't we? I think there's some other weird fantasies in that head.
Oh, believe me. I know there's some other weird fantasies in those heads.
We'll be exploring that tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We'll see ya.